The scripture today comes from Matthew 16:24-27. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done."
Greetings in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Thanks for coming to worship with us today. I'm glad that you're here, and I look forward to talking with you after the service. Before we start, let's pray. Almighty God and our Heavenly Father, I pray now that you use me as your instrument, that I'll be faithful in proclaiming your message to us today. And I pray also that your Holy Spirit be in our hearts, that we may listen and hear what you have to say to us today. And we take it to heart and we live it out so it may make a difference in our lives and in your community and your world. In Jesus' name, amen. Tim was 28, married, and with a baby girl when he and his family had their house foreclosed by a bank, and they ended up homeless. Now, he did not have an addiction or anything like that, but when unemployment hit and he had no savings, he faced the consequences, and they were severe. He felt like a total failure and couldn't find meaning or purpose in life. Now, let's come back to Tim later, but keep him in mind as we go through this message. I invite you now to think of everything that you own, everything that belongs to you. Think of some of your most valued possessions. Now, how do you know that you really own these things? I think we can have a receipt for something we purchase, or we can have a title to some property, whether it's a car or a house. It can be something that we made out of our own supplies. So that gives us a sense of ownership, right? Okay. Now let's look at what God has to say about ownership. So our first scripture is Psalm 24. We read the whole thing in the call to worship, but I'll focus on verses 1 and 2. "The earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, the world and all who live in it, for he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters." Okay, so according to this, everything belongs to God because he made it. So this takes care of material possessions, but what about our children? For those of us who have children, we can say we begot them, we clothed them, we fed them. Do they belong to us? For that, let's look at Ezekiel chapter 16, verses 20 and 21. This is God speaking. "And you took your sons and daughters whom you bore to me and sacrificed them as food to the idols. Was your prostitution not enough? You slaughtered my children and sacrificed them to the idols." And so here, God is calling the children that we, the people, bore to him, God. And he says that we slaughter his children. So our children belong to God. Okay, now what about our bodies? For that, I invite you to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. And it reads as follows. "You know that your body is a sanctuary of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God, don't you? You do not belong to yourselves, because you were bought for a price. Therefore, glorify God with your bodies." We have been bought with a price. Jesus paid that price. And so, just like when you buy something and you pay for it and it belongs to you, Jesus paid for us, and we belong to him. So as Christians, let us honor God by acknowledging that this body that we're wearing belongs to him, not to us. And so he has a say in the choices that we make about it. So overall, from what we have seen so far, nothing belongs to us. It all belongs to God. Now, how do you feel about that? Is that scary? Is that surprising? I think we know that when we die, we lose everything. Our possessions, our body begins to decay the moment that we die. Now, given all this, what are we to do? Should we not touch God's creation, God's possessions? Because usually we don't touch other people's stuff. But we have guidance from the Word on that as well. So let's look together at Genesis 1:28 and Genesis 2:15. I'll read them both and then we'll discuss them. So Genesis 1:28 reads as follows. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the seas and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." And then Genesis 2:15. "The Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it." And so here, God has given us dominion over creation to work it and take care of it. So that's one thing he has done. So it's not as though he's holding on to everything and we cannot touch it. Now, also, he gives us the use of resources without exploiting them. And that you can find in Leviticus chapter 25, verses 1 through 5. And it's fairly lengthy, but you can look it up on your own. Just the issue there is that the land is to be given rest. So God has also given us the use of our gifts to serve each other. And that we can find in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace." Now, notice that word in there, stewards. And this is our topic for today, at least for what we have covered so far, stewardship. Taking care of things that don't belong to us. But there's a higher calling here, and that is to surrender our whole being to God. And again, let's examine where that is in the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. "Therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do everything for the glory of God." And so this part covers our actions. What we do, let's do it for God. Okay, next one. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. "We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ." And let me read the next one before I talked about these two. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It reads, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds so that you may be able to determine what is God's will, what is good, pleasing, and perfect." And so our thoughts and our minds are also for God. And so we have our actions, we have our thoughts, and that's the instruction. We also have the example, and that is Jesus himself. For that, look at John chapter 6, verse 38, where Jesus said this, "I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of the one who sent me." So Jesus gives us the example, and then he himself makes the call, the great call. And that was our main reading for today. Since we already read it, I just want to highlight a few points in there. Verse 24, Jesus calls us to deny ourselves. On verse 25, he tells us that by losing your life, you will find it. On verse 26, He tells us that even gaining the whole world isn't worth losing your soul. And in verse 27, it's about accountability. We will be repaid individually according to our deeds. Okay, so I want to work with you through two questions, and those are these. First, why is it good to surrender our lives to God? And the second is, how do we surrender our lives to God? So let's talk about why. We see that in verse 25. In losing yourself to God, you will find true life. So true life is a good reason for that. But this requires faith, because we will not lose our lives for just about anything. Now, God loves us. He is good. He is perfect. And he is trustworthy. So he is worthy of having us surrender our lives to him. Then we have also Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. And here, it reads as follows. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And so God has good plans for us. And we can trust that what he wants for us will be good for us as well. In fact, God's will is better for us than our will for ourselves. And I hope you can see that in the fact that he's just better than us in every single way. He's smarter, he's wiser, he knows a lot more, he's been around a lot longer, and he's all-powerful, and he's just almighty, and we are quite small in comparison. If you look back at your past, you probably have a lot of regrets. You've made mistakes. You've hurt people. You've hurt yourself. But God doesn't make mistakes. He has no regrets. And he's not out to hurt anyone. So now note here, when we talk about surrendering our lives to God, it doesn't mean that we lose all choice. He expects us to use judgment. He gives us a lot of freedom. And he lets us use our gifts and to follow the desires of our hearts that he has put there. So it's not as though we are slaves and we have to grudgingly submit and do whatever we don't want to do. No, there's actually a joy in the process. And this is actually even shown by the secular world, that when we surrender, when we live and work for a purpose bigger than ourselves, we find fulfillment. And I've seen this in psychological journals. So what more to do the same thing, but for the purpose of following God's plan and being part of his great plan. And one more reason for why it's good to surrender our lives to God, it is this. Surrendering to God is a necessary part of our salvation. Now, I want to be careful when I say this, because the Bible is very clear that salvation is by grace through faith. I'm not denying that at all. But I want you to think about the fact that when you give your life to Christ, you are accepting him as your Lord and Savior. So if we accept him as our Lord, he has a say in what we do with our life. Okay, so that was the question, why it is good to surrender our lives to God. Let's examine now, how do we surrender our lives to God? And there are several ways. I think the first one is Bible reading. This is where God gives us his clear guidance on what his will is and who he is and how we are to imitate him. There's also prayer, in which we connect to him and we seek his will and we ask for his guidance. There's also, as we saw earlier, the transforming and renewing of our minds and our thoughts. And that's an ongoing process. We have to battle the thoughts that come to our head and weed out the sinful ones and nourish the godly ones. Also, being led by the Holy Spirit. It says in Scripture that the Holy Spirit will lead us to all truth. And this is the way to follow God. And Another way of surrendering our lives to God is this: to be in community with God's people, as you are doing by being here. And also, serving according to the gifts that God has given us. Now, surrendering our lives to God is not instantaneous. It is a process. But before even starting the process, it is a choice. We only walk down the path of surrendering when we actively choose to do so. Okay, now let's go back to Tim, the guy from the illustration at the beginning. We had left him at a pretty low point in his life. So let's see what happens after he lost his house and became homeless. He turned to a cousin for temporary housing. He turned to a colleague to learn about money management and investing. And he turned to a Christian friend for discipleship. He embraced humility and rebuilt all aspects of his life. He is now 44, has two teenage daughters, and lives in a modest house in Philadelphia, a house that is now paid off. Tim surrendered his life to Christ, and now he is discipling teenagers in practical and spiritual matters. He doesn't struggle with meaning or purpose anymore. We have a great choice to make, whether to walk away from God or to surrender to Him. There's no in-between. What is your choice? If you choose to surrender to God, then in Him you will find your purpose and fulfillment. It doesn't mean everything will be perfect. For example, during his recovery, Tim lost his wife and never got her back. So we will face the consequences of our actions, and we will even face persecution. The Bible is clear on that. Surrendering your life doesn't mean that everything will be perfect. However, if you do surrender your life to God, you will have what you need, and you will have peace and fulfillment regardless of your external circumstances. And so I urge you, be humble. We don't own anything. Take good care of God's belongings, His planet, His people, the body you're wearing. Use God's resources for God's purposes. So don't be shy about using the stuff that belongs to God, but use it for His good, the good of His people, the good of the community. And finally, use your gifts, talents, and abilities to serve God's people. So God's calling for us today is this: surrender your will, your life, your everything to God, who loves you and seeks your good. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, thanks for speaking to us today through your word. Thanks for putting it in my heart to share this message with your people. I pray now for the work of your Holy Spirit in our lives, that we would surrender to you. For those who have already chosen to surrender to you, I pray that we would continue to do so, because we do fall astray. We get distracted. We lose our focus. So help us, Lord. Empower us to submit to you, to fulfill your calling for us in this life. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.